The Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Minuk with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We are thrilled to welcome back to the program TSN's Director of Scouting, Craig Button. Craig, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning, and my pleasure to join you. Always my pleasure.
And Craig, now that Matthew Leibel is no longer on the show, we can start having you on Illegal Curve more often.
Well, that's not true. I really like Matt, and I hope that his quest to try to advance his in his rabbi studies is really going well.
It is. We speak to him frequently, and he is continuing on a good trajectory on that course there, Craig. Never too early to talk about the 2017 NHL draft and the 2017 draft prospects. And that conversation begins in Brandon, Manitoba, about 2 hours west of us, with Nolan Patrick. The unfortunate part of it is Nolan Patrick, and coming into the season, this was expected to be the quote-unquote Nolan Patrick draft. He's still out of the lineup. He hasn't played since he sustained an upper body injury 6 games into the WHL season. How is that affecting, I mean, it's still early, I suppose. Is that affecting his draft standing just yet, or is this still the Nolan Patrick draft?
Well, here's what I would say. I mean, obviously, if you go back and, you know, he played with the hernia last year during the playoffs, and he had the off-season surgery, and now, you know, they're trying to make sure that there's not any other damage and that everything can settle back in. I mean, you have to be very careful with those types of injuries. Here's my take on Nolan Patrick. Now, I know scouts love to go and say, oh, he played good or he didn't play good, and then their lists fluctuate. That's not the case with some of them. It's the case with too many of them, in my view. Now, that being said, and I'll be very clear on this, if you don't know what Nolan Patrick's capable of, you haven't been paying attention the last 2 years. And the guy is a dominant player, in my view. The guy was a dominant player last year in the playoffs. He was a dominant player during the regular season. He was a rookie of the year in the WHL's first year. He was a star at the Ivan Lincoln tournament. So, okay, you have to satisfy yourself with the medical report. Okay, got that. So if there's nothing and everything is under control with respect to that, then I know this. If there's a better player than Nolan Patrick, just tell me where he is. Just please tell me where he is. Point it out on the map, and I'll go and watch him. Because I'll tell you what, I haven't seen a better player than Nolan Patrick. And for me, as long as I'm satisfied on the medical part of it, I don't care if Nolan Patrick plays. Just like I didn't need to see Austin Matthews play last year. Because Austin Matthews, if you didn't know what he was capable of, you certainly weren't paying attention at all the key events previously.
Craig, on your last Craigslist ranking of players for the 2017 NHL draft, you had Swedish defenseman Timothy Liljegren ranked as number 2. Is he still the second best prospect in your mind after Nolan Patrick heading in to the 2017 draft? I know we're quite a ways away here, though.
Yeah, and I understand. Timothy hasn't played because of mononucleosis. So you have Nolan Patrick, a centerman, and Timothy Liljegren, a defenseman. Both haven't played. And in my view, still clear-cut the top two guys in the draft. Again, I'm gonna say it again. I haven't seen better players than those two guys. I've been watching. I'll tell you, and then inevitably the question is going to be, okay, well, who comes in at 3? Well, I'll tell you what, that's where the discussion gets interesting. Because there could be, this year's draft, there legitimately could be 10, 12 guys that could be in consideration for the next 3 spots, 3, 4, and 5. That's how wide open it is in this year's draft. So for me, Liljegren, I mean, he's a dominant force on the blue line, in my view. He plays a game in terms of style like Drew Doughty. I don't know where you find defensemen like that. And to me, there's not a defenseman close to Timothy Liljegren in this draft.
Craig, the last two drafts, I think you would agree, have produced quite a few generational players. Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, Patrick Laine. Would you say that, I know it's early, 6 months away from the draft in Chicago, but would you say that this is going to be a weaker draft than the last two drafts?
Well, if we talk about, superstars, and if you want to use the term generational, no, there's not. I don't see players like that in this draft. And, you know, you start to consider who might fall into the draft after Patrick and Liljegren. And yeah, there's some good players. But after that, it's going to take a lot of work by the scouts to really evaluate who that next group of players is. And, you know, last year we go into the draft and, you know, you're going in. I mean, it's Matthews and then Laine and certainly Puljujärvi. And then Pierre-Luc Dubois really found his way into that top five group through his play. And, you know, then after that, you can start to look. I mean, guys like Ualavi found their way in. And I think that's where, who is this year's Ole Ualavi? I mean, that's where you're going to have to evaluate who's this year's Michael McLeod, who's like that group of players that are going to end up being drafted, you know, in the first 15 picks. I think there's a lot of players that can find themselves into that mix at that, certainly in June, but as you go through it into the new year, as you're watching into February, March, and really having to come to not final conclusions, but really feel comfortable with where you're at in terms of your evaluations, I think it's going to be a lot of players. And I don't see the same quality through the draft and certainly not in the top 10 that I've seen in the last 2 years.
Craig, looking back at last year's draft for Winnipeg specifically, they moved up and grabbed Logan Stanley, who was somewhat of a controversial pick for some, but, you know, he was a player who was seen as really on the rise last year. What have you seen in Logan Stanley that, you know, that the Jets obviously did to take him at that spot?
You know, well, I mean, I just saw him play last week for the third time this year with Windsor. And, you know, Logan made, really terrific strides in his game from the time he was a 16-year-old through last year, obviously being a first-round pick. And I think that obviously you see a big man, but I wouldn't say I've changed my view on Logan. What I've done is that I think you have to look at Logan in a little bit different light. I mean, we think of a big man that's going to be rugged and punishing. I don't think that's going to be Logan's game. I think Logan's going to be able to be really good defensively and really good positional. But I think Logan has got really good puck play. I think his skating continues to get better. He's a thinker. He looks to make a play. And, we look at a bigger player and we think, oh, boy, that guy's got to run over people. I don't think that's going to be his game. I think he's going to be a player that's going to be able to get the puck moving out of the offensive zone. He holds position in the neutral zone. He makes plays in the offensive zone. And I'm very careful of this. I would love to go and get tapes of Larry Robinson when he was a junior age player and see where he was at, because we know what Larry Robinson became. And yeah, Larry Robinson could deliver a hit just like Logan can. But I think Logan's got a lot of capabilities. And as his body grows into it and he gets stronger and more coordinated and everything that goes with physical maturity, I think he can be more of that type of a player than this bruising defensive type player.
Craig Button, TSN's director of scouting, is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're discussing the world of scouting, the world of the draft. And Craig, I'm going to shift your focus over to the World Junior Hockey Championship, which gets underway 5 weeks from today on Boxing Day in Toronto and Montreal. You know, the adage that we've been hearing so much about the NHL this year in particular is that it's now a young man's game. Well, for a lot of years, a lot of those young men would be playing for Team Canada at the upcoming World Junior Hockey Championship. By the sounds of it, lots of those players won't be on Team Canada. They'll be playing for their NHL teams. How is that going to impact Team Canada at this upcoming World Juniors? And how do you see, you know, what do you see for expecting for Team Canada at the tournament that begins in Toronto and Montreal?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things is some of the other countries are dealing with this type of scenario that Canada's had to deal with for a lot of years. And you look at Matthew Tkachuk, who was playing in Calgary, doesn't appear to be available. Jack Roslovic, as you well know, playing in Manitoba. playing very well in Manitoba in the American Hockey League. Christian Fischer playing with Arizona's farm team. I mean, all of a sudden, those players aren't available. Zach Werenski's in the NHL, so let's just move him out of there. All of a sudden now, you're missing some really good players. Obviously, the Finns are going, are Line A and Aho are not going to be there. Puljujarvi, I guess, it's to be determined, but that was their top line last year. So they're out. Provorov is out for Russia. So the other countries now are starting to feel the same thing that Canada's had to feel for them. Now, that being said, I saw Arizona play twice this week. To me, Dylan Strome, Jacob Chychrun, and Lawson Krause better get back to junior. What they're doing is not developing in Arizona. They are simply not developing, and that team is a very, very poor team. So, to me, I think those guys have to be sent back to junior. If you're going to properly develop your team and your players, and you're serious about development, then there's no way you can keep those players in Arizona because they're not going to win and they're not going to be able to develop in that type of a scenario. So I think Canada, obviously we saw Matt Barzal be returned to Seattle. Mm-hmm. I think those three guys could very well be in the lineup when the World Junior Tournament starts. And number three, Anthony Beauvillier, I know he scored last year with the Islanders, could be available as well. So if you would have asked me this question at the beginning of September, I would say, geez, you know, Canada doesn't look like a real force going into this year's World Junior Tournament. But based on everything that's unfolded and some of the challenges that the other countries have, I definitely see Canada as a top four team, and I definitely see them competing in the medal round, and definitely you know, getting some of those players like a Strome, like a Chychrun, like a Krause. You know, you get those players, and now your chances for competing for the gold go a lot higher.
Yeah, Craig, you just mentioned Dylan Strome, which is actually fortuitous for me because I wanted to ask you about Matthew Strome, who's playing for Hamilton in the Ontario Hockey League. He's got 26 points in 20 games. He's projected to go in the first round or second round in the upcoming 2017 NHL draft. Do you see him just because of his bloodlines and the fact that he's got two brothers in the NHL? Do you think he's a guy that might creep up into the conversation as maybe being a top 10 or top 15 pick in the 2017 draft?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I think he could find himself in the top 10, 12, 15 because of his play, not because of his brothers. You know, and I'm not saying that in a negative light. I'm just saying, I mean, if you look back and you look at Mark and Eric Staal, and then you saw, you know, them first rounders, Jarrett, the youngest brother, he had the great bloodlines, but he didn't have a very good game. He wasn't a good player, so he's not going to get drafted there. Matthew's got a really good game. Matthew's smart. Matthew's assertive. He can score. He can make plays. And you're going to hear a lot about his skating. I think his skating can get better, and I think that he always shows up in the places that matter at the right times. And that's what I look for. I'm not here to evaluate. It's not a figure skating contest where you're looking for, did they do their figures and did they get around the ice? Nobody goes around the ice like these skating test people do. Never in a game do you see somebody start at the red line and skate behind the net and all the way around. They're ridiculous. They're stupid tests. And they're stupid evaluations. Watch how a player skates in terms of, does he get from point A to point B, and does he get there when it matters, and does he get there at the most important times? That's how you evaluate skating. Now, I know you have to be able to be quick and fast, and the better skaters are going to be the better players. Don't get me wrong, but I don't see any fundamental problem with Matthew Strome skating. Do I think he's going to be a skater that's an exceptional skater? No. But do I think his skating will hold him back from being a good NHL player? No, again.
Craig, you know, the question that everybody in Winnipeg and Toronto has been asking is Matthews versus Line A, and talking about Matthews versus Line A. Who do you think will have be judged to have had the better season at the end of the 2016-17 year?
It's hard to say right now. I mean, you got Patrick right now who has 12 goals. I mean, goal scoring is a really, really hard thing to do in the National Hockey League. And, you know, Patrick has done it as, nobody's done it better than Patrick. So, you know, there's a lot of season to be played, and do I think that Patrick's going to slow down? No, I don't. But keep this in mind. Auston Matthews is playing with two other rookies. It's an all-rookie line. I mean, Patrick Laine has had the benefit of playing with an emerging elite number one center in Mark Scheifele, and that's a great benefit to Patrick Laine. So, you know, I would tell you this. If Patrick Laine continues on at the same clip that he's on now, I think at the end of the year that you could be looking at the rookie of the year. But, you know, there's a lot of season to be played. We're not even through the first 20 games. And, you know, you got to factor in a lot of different parts of growth. And, you know, certainly teams are locking in on, on the good young players and understanding, hey, how do we stop them? But, I mean, again, you started off the show by talking about these elite young players, and Patrick and Austin are elite in every sense of the word.
Craig Button is TSN's Director of Scouting. Craig, really appreciate your time this morning. We'll do it again soon. Great insight and analysis, as always. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Have a great day and a great weekend.
You too, Craig. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Craig.
Let's head to break. When we come back, we continue our discussion about Mark Scheifele among the NHL's best centermen. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Now you're on the curve on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Okay, get on your feet, because Mark Scheifele can win it right here. This place will rise in crescendo here. Scheifele will pick it up, right-handed shot it across the line. Head up, Scheifele slows down, shoots, scores! Jets win on a shootout winner by Mark Scheifele.
That was last Sunday against the Los Angeles Kings. Mark Scheifele scoring in the shootout, giving the Jets the victory. We continue our look, our ranking of Mark Scheifele among the NHL's best centermen. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the team at the Linden Market Dental Center, official dentists of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection, as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. For more information or to make an appointment, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. As I mentioned, continuing with our conversation regarding Mark Scheifele, so far with one division down, the Metropolitan Division, Ezzy, you have Scheifele as the fourth best centerman in the NHL. Dave, you have him as the fifth best centerman. The question is, Evgeny Malkin, one of you has him above Scheifele, the other one doesn't. We move on now to the Atlantic Division, where Alex Galchenyuk would be the number one centerman for the Montreal Canadiens. Scheifele over Galchenyuk?
Yeah, and Thomas Plekanec is the second-line center. So, Thomas Plekanec is also a good center. Galchenyuk as well. Galchenyuk's had a really good start to the season, Drew. First 18 or 19 games here. I'm going to take Mark Scheifele over Alex Galchenyuk. And, you know, Alex Galchenyuk is certainly a dynamic offensive centerman for the Montreal Canadiens, who are in first place in the East right now. But with the way Scheifele has played towards the end of last season, after February, and early on this season, tied for the league lead in points, I'm still going to go with Scheifele over any centerman on the Habs.
No quibble.
No quibble? Okay.
If there's no quibble, I'm just going to say no quibble.
Okay, that's fine.
No mods.
Just no quibble will be your default. Yeah. Tampa Bay.
Well, right off the bat, I'm going to take Stamkos over Scheifele.
Given all the injury history as of late?
Well, it's terribly unfortunate.
Technically, it's as of right now.
Well, I mean, I'm saying, let's say, I mean, for the argument's sake,
we're not picking a healthy Scheifele over an injured Stamkos.
No,
we're talking about a healthy Scheifele versus a healthy Stamkos. Right. I'm going to take Stamkos.
I think that's still fair, but you know, you have to wonder how much longer that's going to be the quote-unquote correct answer.
I mean, you hope that when he comes back in the playoffs, and Tampa Bay will make the playoffs.
It certainly will.
They've got enough depth to overcome this. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's got 60-goal seasons under his belt. Yeah. So we're not talking about Scheifele's start to the season, just the start and the finish to last year. We're talking about where they're at in their careers right now, right? And I'm still going to take Stamkos.
Yeah, I mean, Stamkos has 43, 36, 25, 29, 60-goal seasons. Yeah. I mean, when Mark Scheifele is getting into that conversation, then look, he appears to be climbing there. That's his trajectory. But he's not there yet.
Right.
I'm taking Stamkos.
But again, we're not talking about potential. We're talking about where they're at right now.
So today. I'm taking Stamkos.
And then Tyler Johnson. I mean, Tyler Johnson was a nice story a couple years ago.
He had a rough year last year, but he's having a better start to this year. But I'm going to take Scheifele over Tyler Johnson. But I really like Tyler Johnson's game.
No quibble.
No quibble. You got to say no quibble, otherwise I'm not going to know.
Yeah, I said no quibble.
Ottawa, Kyle Turris.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take Scheifele over Turris, Drew. I mean, Turris is a good player. He's, you know, he's not at that same
lethal
offensive.
Shot. He has a lethal shot.
He's a great player, but no, Scheifele's better.
Dave,
no quibble.
No quibble. No quibble. Got to keep saying no quibble. Boston, the Jets' opponent tonight.
Right, and again, I'll take Patrice Bergeron ahead of Mark Scheifele right off the bat. I mean, when you're talking about Patrice Bergeron, and he's had a rough start to the season. We talked to Jack Edwards about it about an hour and a half ago. I mean, but Patrice Bergeron, you're talking about a guy who was playing on the top line of Team Canada at the World Cup of Hockey. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 4 points in 14 games, that's a bad start. But he'll start to put the puck in the net. He'll start to get his points. So you're talking about a guy who's a perennial Selke winner or finalist, right? So I'm going to take Bergeron over Scheifele.
What about David Krejci?
I'll take Scheifele over Krejci.
With no second thought there at all?
Well, no, he's a good player. I mean, Krejci's a very good player. But I would have maybe taken Krejci over Scheifele 4 years ago, but, or 5 years ago, but not now.
Not now. Okay. And Dave, you're going to back Ezzy on that call?
You know, it's interesting because Jack Edwards was talking about, you know, Patrice Bergeron's health and whether he's, you know, 100% and, you know, really. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, are we seeing Patrice Bergeron, the decline of Patrice Bergeron potentially while Mark Scheifele's. I mean, you know, I think one with Mark Scheifele.
Over Patrice Bergeron?
No, I'm joking.
Okay. I was going to say.
I just didn't want to say no quibble again.
Because okay, like, the third hour of the show is just going to get canceled.
Dave just likes the word quibble.
Yeah, I just didn't want to say no quibble again.
Auston Matthews.
Well, that's actually a tough one. I mean, you're talking about potential there. Right now, though.
We're talking about
today. No, we're okay. Talking about right now.
Okay, right now I'll take Scheifele.
I'm taking Scheifele.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's,
but 5 years from now, we might be taking Matthews.
I think Matthews is a good player.
David, might not even be 5 years ago. 2 years from now, Matthews might be.
No, of course. He absolutely. But, I mean, if we're talking about right now, you got to take Mark Scheifele.
He's got 6 goals, and Lyon's got 12. I mean, Matthews has struggled since that first week of the season.
Remember, he had 4-1.
Yeah. Right.
But, I mean, again, it doesn't really matter because, as Craig Button said, I mean, look, he's playing with rookies. It's a difference. Right. Like, Mark Scheifele's playing with – he has an abundance of riches, right? He can play with Wheeler. He can play with Ehlers. He can play with Laine. So, I mean, like
– better line mates.
Well, no. I mean, don't get me wrong. Marner and Nylander are phenomenal hockey players. They're just young.
Right. Florida, where they have two pretty good centermen. Barkov or Nick – I mean, I would assume that Nick Bjugstad isn't really in the conversation for you. But Alex Barkov is an interesting question, I think, to be posed.
Barkov versus Scheifele is a tough one, guys, because, you know, and we talked a lot about it with Richie here, and he works for the Panthers, obviously, now. But Barkov is kind of like, to me, a mini Kopitar. Like, you forget how good he is on both sides of the puck. So it's tough for me right now. I mean, like, Barkov is a really good player. And when he was with Huberto and Jágr on that top line for a little bit there, it was a really dynamic line. So... I'll take Scheifele over Barkov, but just by a hair.
Scheifele over Barkov. Okay. Dave?
But just by the hair, the beard on Ezzy's chinny chin chin, I'm going with Scheifele.
Yeah, and I've got some gray hairs on that chinny chin chin.
I just actually noticed those gray hairs.
A little salt and pepper action going, Dave.
Well, welcome to getting old, Ez.
Well, I'm not in my 70s yet, Drew.
No, not quite yet. Detroit, where Henrik Zetterberg's at the end of a Hall of Fame career and Franz Nielsen was their big offseason signing.
Scheifele, I'll take over both those guys. And I mean, Henrik Zetterberg to me is a Hall of Famer. And when you're talking about Franz Nielsen, how much do the Islanders miss Franz Nielsen right now, Drew? So, I mean, Franz Nielsen's an excellent center, but I'm going to take Scheif over both those guys.
I'm no quibbling.
No quibbling? Okay, fair enough. In Buffalo, where Jack Eichel, former second overall pick last season, hasn't played yet this year with his injury.
Yep.
And then Ryan O'Reilly, who they acquired from the Colorado Avalanche last offseason.
Yeah, Ryan O'Reilly's a really good player. You know, Drew, that I've liked Ryan O'Reilly since his days with Colorado. I mean, Jack Eichel, he's injured. He hasn't played yet this year. He had that freak injury in practice. I'm going to take Scheifele.
I think I've stumped him. I think I broke Ezzy.
Well, no, I'll take Scheifele over O'Reilly because Scheifele's better offensively, even though Ryan O'Reilly's having a decent year.
O'Reilly had 60 points last year. He had 60 points in 71 games.
Yep.
Scheifele had 61 points in 71 games.
I can't take Scheifele over Eichel. I mean, Eichel, you're talking, it's going to be, we forgot how good Eichel was in his rookie year. I'll take Eichel over Scheifele.
I will write that down, Mr. Quibble over there.
I'm quibbling.
I'm quibbling.
I think I would still go based on right now. I'm going with Mark Scheifele. I am. I think that he is, like, I think Eichel, I need a body of work. I need a little bit more from him. So
I don't think, you know, I would side with you right now as opposed to Ezzy on this one. I know Jack Eichel is, you know, second overall pick last year. He's a phenomenal talent. I don't know. you know, you see what Mark Scheifele's been doing.
Look, I mean, the fact of the matter is that Mark Scheifele is ahead of guys like Cross. Like, in the last – look, you could have said – people – like, someone tweeted at us or wrote a comment saying, oh, you know, I was worried it was just going to be garbage time, that, you know, he was just picking up points towards the end of the season. The fact of the matter is he's come out and he's still the hottest player since last February.
I'm just going to say this. If it wasn't for Artemi Panarin and obviously Connor McDavid when he was healthy last year and Shane Gostisbehere, I mean, what did Eichel have, 55 points last year on a terrible Sabres team? Just saying, I mean.
Yeah, but you just named three players.
The second said,
if but this for the one, but this
no,
one.
No, I'm just,
this
I mean,
one,
Connor so. McDavid, we can skip ahead, is better than Mark Scheifele. And you know, when we're.
I don't know. Connor McDavid did text Mark Scheifele and say, slow down.
Slow down is right. Okay, that's half the league is done. We have John Forslund, the Carolina Hurricanes broadcaster, coming up at, in about a minute or so from now. We'll come back to this on the other side of the Forslund interview, the Western Conference to look at as we evaluate Mark Scheifele among the NHL's top centers and try to rank him. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, hour number three, coming up next on TSN 1290.
You're on the curve on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Hour number three of Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And our website with latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the program John Forslund. John is the Carolina Hurricanes play-by-play broadcaster on Fox Sports Carolinas. The Jets make their only visit to Raleigh tomorrow afternoon to face the Hurricanes. John, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing very well, John. My apologies. I remember I was supposed to send you a reminder text this morning, so apologies for not having done so.
I somehow remembered, so that's good.
Yeah, what's going on, John? Drew was supposed to give you a little wake-up call, and he forgot.
Yeah, I failed miserably.
I'll give Drew a mulligan on this.
I appreciate that, John. Obviously brought you on, as I mentioned, the Jets and the Hurricanes. They meet for the first time tomorrow evening, or late afternoon, if you will, in Raleigh. Hurricanes off to an interesting start to the season, I would say, with this 6-6-4 record. Obviously, their winning percentage isn't great, but they are doing what a lot of playoff teams need to do, which is getting points via the quote-unquote loser point, with four of those so far in 16 games. How would you describe the Hurricane season thus far through 16 games?
Well, they're trying to build a season is what they're doing. They started the year with six straight games on the road, opened up in Winnipeg, were looking pretty good in that game. As you recall, they had a 3-goal lead in that game and then started to make a few mistakes, including a kind of shorthanded goal, which kind of opened up the door. And then the Jets, you know, exploded, won the game in overtime. Then they did the very same thing in Vancouver, the second game of the season. So they went through those six games and they had their challenges. You know, they had a tough time finding their defensive identity, which the Hurricanes under Bill Peters over the last 2 years have done a really good job kind of manufacturing, especially in the second half of last season. They were a top five team in a lot of these defensive numbers that we look at right now. Shot depression, shots against, their neutral zone play was very good, but they had a challenge as far as goal scoring. They added some players to the mix, some new players this year to add more skill and maybe enhance that. And I think the newness of that and just some of the new players trying to acclimate to a system show that they could score some goals, fellas, but also show that they had defensive deficiencies and then the goaltending was very average. But in the month of November, since they've returned from all of that, they're in the midst and they will finish a 5-game homestand against the Jets tomorrow evening. And they're right now standing at 3-1. And they've beaten the likes of Washington, San Jose, and Montreal on the homestand. And they've done so by kind of getting back to their defensive identity. Cam Ward's goaltending has been exceptional. But to be fair, he's basically just been asked to keep them in a position to win the game. He's been asked to do his job, be good when he needs to be. But the grade A chances have declined a great deal because they're kind of back to where they were. So they're better in the defensive zone, better in the middle of the ice. And right now they're a tough team to play against. And they also, as I said, they have some interesting skill that they get to. And Jeff Skinner's had a great start to his season. And we can talk about a lot of these guys. But certainly right now they're just trying to stay in the mix in the East. Because, you know, when you hit U.S. Thanksgiving, that's kind of a benchmark as to where you're at right now. And there's still a lot of a playoff spot, so there's plenty of work to be done here.
John, earlier you mentioned some of those new players for the Carolina Hurricanes, and the one of those new players that's impressed me the most has been Sebastian Aho. He actually played with Patrick Laine on Team Finland at last year's World Junior Hockey Championships. And since Bill Peters has put Sebastian Aho with Teuvo Teravainen, they've really caused a lot of problems for goaltenders. What's impressed you most about Carolina Hurricanes rookie Sebastian Aho?
His demeanor. Mostly, I mean, when you're around the team, as I am, and those that cover the team, you get a little peek as to what he's all about. We all know his background, and we, as you point out, you know, played with Patrick, played on the same line. They were dominant at the junior level, international junior level, you know, world championships, and then right on through the World Cup. But you don't get to see everyday practice habits. You don't get to see how he conducts himself as a 19-year-old. And this player grew up in a hockey family and has an awareness of the game and knows his place and knows how to prepare. And it really shows on the ice because defensively, he's as good as his offensive skill. He's a creative player. He's great with the puck, outstanding passer. He had all kinds of chances. He recently scored his first NHL goal. He had two goals in the same game, but he had all kinds of chances to do that before. And in my career, I've never seen a guy in an effort to score his first NHL goal have all these goaltenders make absolutely 10 bell saves to rob him of that opportunity. It happened about a half a dozen times to this player. But defensively, very strong. Very good with his stick defensively. And for a guy that you look at and say, geez, he looks like he's about 12 years old. And I say that with a lot of respect. He's just a youngish look about him, and he's small. He's 5'11", 180 pounds maybe, but he's sturdy. He's hard to knock off the puck, and he's got a strong core, lower center of gravity. He's not a slight guy by any stretch in terms of getting pushed off the puck at this age, and he'll only fill out more. So they're very excited about him here. The fans are too. He's exciting to watch. Should be a great matchup, you know, with these two guys hopefully on the ice at the same time.
John Forslund is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. John is the play-by-play broadcaster for the Carolina Hurricanes on Fox Sports Carolinas. You know, John, throughout the course of the show today, we've been talking about Mark Scheifele and trying to rank him among the NHL's best centermen. And we spoke about Victor Rask of the Hurricanes earlier. And there's a lot of parallels between Scheifele and Rask. Obviously, Rask was a second-round pick of the Hurricanes back in 2011. Scheifele, of course, a first-round pick for the Jets. And the Hurricanes certainly took their time in developing him and getting him into the NHL. This is just his third season, but you already see the progression. His rookie year, he had 33 points. Last year, he had 48 points. So far this season, he's got 14 points in 16 games played. You know, it is, you know, sort of the sky the limit for Victor Rask, and is this just the trajectory that the Carolina Hurricanes management wanted to see him head on when they drafted him and did the very slow development with him?
Yeah, I think so, because Victor has shown improvement, as you point out, you know, every step of the way, including each time he played in a prospects tournament in Traverse City, Michigan, where, you know, eight of the NHL teams partake. Every year, he did it three times. Every year, there was an improvement until his last season where he dominated the tournament. And then he went into the American Hockey League that year and played extremely well. I think as a second-round pick, and I think as a player that, you know, coming out of Calgary in the Western Hockey League, they thought, okay, he's a really good prospect. We're just not sure where he's going to end up as an NHL player. He was afforded the opportunity to do it correctly. So they were able to let him marinate a little bit in the American League, which helps every player. These first-round picks, Elias Lindholm on the Hurricanes is one of those cases. First-round picks, they expect so much, and they almost put them in a position to fail at times unless they're a special talent, Shifley took off, although he had his moments when he was the first couple of years in the National Hockey League, but you knew he'd be a star, and I'll get to him in a second. Line A, of course, an elite player, steps right in. He's got 12 goals. Those are different cases. Victor was able to do it correctly, and now he's part of the leadership core of the team. He wears an A in his sweater. He's only 23. He's a young guy who is very smart, very intelligent on the ice. He reminds me a little bit. I hate comparisons, but he plays the game a lot like Ron Francis used to play the game. Three-zone guy, good with the puck, good without the puck, scores in big moments, can do very good in the face-off circle, and he's a young leader. And they extended him. You know, they bridged him, and they tied him up for 6 years at $4 million a year. And that's probably in 3 years going to look like a great deal. At the time, it raised a few eyebrows because Francis got to it, and they're saying that's a long time and a lot of money to commit to a player that's just cutting his teeth. But managers have to make those decisions. If you sit too long and you got a superstar in your hands, you're going to have an issue. And so that's the situation with Victor. And as far as Shifley is concerned, and I'm not saying it because I'm with you guys and appealing to your market, I've always been a fan. I love the way he plays. I enjoy watching him play on off nights where I'm watching games. I like to watch the Jets. I just think they have a lot of young talent. He, of course, is the head of the ship there. And you know what? Again, that matchup of those two go head-to-head will make tomorrow's game even better.
Yeah, John, and speaking of young talent, for Sunday afternoon's game, we're going to see Noah Hanifin, who was drafted fifth overall back in 2015 by Carolina. And every time I watch him play, he does remind me of Jay Bouwmeester, not necessarily a dominant defenseman, but just the way he skates. How have you seen his game change in his second year in the National Hockey League?
Well, he of the three young defensemen that broke in last year, Noah, Jacob Slavin, and Brett Pesce, you know, they all broke in. They were all 21 or younger. Noah, 18 last year. The other two boys, 21. And they all proved they could play at this level and make a significant contribution. But of those three, Noah hasn't played as well as Pesce and Slavin. Noah's having a little bit of an adjustment in his second year. And to be fair, he's had about four different partners. They're finally settling in on Matt Tennyson for now, who they called up from the American Hockey League, but it's been Ryan Murphy, Jakub Naklada when they had him, Klaus Dalbec. There's been a variety of different guys, Ron Hainsey. He's played with four players, and it's never been steady. He gets his power play time. He looks good in the power play. I think he's going to work on his shot a little bit more as he gets older and develops even more strength, a big body. But that's one area that he can improve because he gets a lot of looks at the net. And he doesn't have, for me, he doesn't have a way above average shot. It's a good NHL shot, but not way above average. But his skating ability, his ability to get the puck out of trouble, his coachability, which is really good. Steve Smith works with the D here and raves about that aspect of his game. I think that comparison to Jay Bouwmeester is a bang on. And the problem with that one is, again, you're talking about these top five draft choices and where are your expectations. There's nothing wrong with Jay Bouwmeester, okay? Nothing wrong with him at all. He's a quality NHL defenseman, world-class player. It's been proven now that he's got his shots to play with Team Canada and all that. But you'll recall the stops in Calgary and Florida and so on where they expect more. That's where I see, you know, the issue maybe with Noah. But he could continue to improve because, again, he's 19. Those other two players are just a little bit older. But Slavin and Pesce have been their best pair, and Slavin has been their best defenseman.
John, staying with the back end of the Carolina Hurricanes, John Forslund is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, talking about the Carolina Hurricanes. He's their play-by-play broadcaster. Ryan Murphy, another one of those, you know, young defensemen. He's not as young as some of the other ones, or he was drafted in the first round, you know, 5 years ago, back in 2011. Seems to have fallen out of favor to some degree with Bill Peters. You sort of hear his name potentially on the trade block. What's going on with Ryan Murphy and the Carolina Hurricanes?
Well, this season, he's never been able to get off the muck at all. Was ill at the beginning of training camp, so he had the flu, and they had to keep him away from the team for a while. When he returned from that, they pressed him in the lineup, played an exhibition game in Marquette, Michigan. He got hurt his knee, and so he started the season injured. And he's just behind. And I don't think the days for him are that much longer here. I think they're going to have to make a decision. They keep sitting him out. They're going to have to make a decision to play him somewhere, which is likely back to the American Hockey League. Ryan's had some injury issues over the years, and he also has had some moments where I think he could have helped himself a little bit better with his drive, his willingness to adjust some of the things along the way. They've worked with him in terms of his off-season conditioning and his regimen and all that to kind of improve that. He's another one of these guys. I think when he got to the Hurricanes, there was an opening, and they were aching for a guy like this. They drafted him 12th overall in 2011, and right away, bingo, National Hockey League. It's not the right thing for a lot of players, the majority of players, and for organizations like the Hurricanes, they are trying to get to a place to be better so that they have better National Hockey League players so that they can take a kid like this in the future. And like I said before with Victor Rask, you know, let them grow the correct way so that when we get them here, they're ready to go. Ryan Murphy has tried to learn at this level and adapt at this level. He'll tease a coaching staff, and he's probably appealing to other teams if they do move him because he can skate, he can move it, he can shoot it, he can be on one of your two power play units and not look out of place, and he's young. So there's a lot of potential there. Maybe if they do end up trading this player, the new scenery, the new start will wake him up, and then his talent set will take over because he is a very talented young man.
Okay, John, we only have one more question about first-round draft picks that were defensemen. Hayden Fleury, he was drafted 7th overall in 2014, the same year that the Jets drafted Nikolai Ehlers from nearby Saskatchewan. I know that he's playing with the Charlotte Checkers of the American Hockey League. Is there a chance that we see him with the Carolina Hurricanes in the NHL this year, or is he maybe a year away?
I think he's a year away, and again, I think to reinforce everything, guys, we just talked about, that's a good thing. They've improved. They've improved their depth at defense so that you can get a player like that and let him play in the American League. You know, like he's there with a kid like Roland McEwen of the Ontario Hockey League, who they acquired in a trade with Los Angeles. He's a former second-round pick of the Kings. He should have made the Hurricanes out of training camp. He was that good, so he's there too. And I would say Hayden's right behind him. So they have a variety of prospects. They have depth in the NHL level with young defensemen. And certainly because of Pesci and Slavin and Noah Hanifin, you know, this is an opportunity for Hayden Fleury to play at the American League level and get all that seasoning and learn from Ulf Samuelsson, who's the coach there, can help him develop and train him as a defenseman. But they have a lot of hope for this player. His training camp, to be fair, was just so-so. And I think, again, they're just looking down the road with him. But it's a good problem to have. You can never have enough D-men and quality young defensemen, because whether they play for the Hurricanes or somewhere else, Francis is going to have the ability to make some moves here because he's accrued all these prospects.
John Forslund is the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes on Fox Sports Carolinas. John, always appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy tomorrow evening's Jets-Hurricanes game in Raleigh.
I will, guys. Thanks so much. A pleasure being with you again.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Let's head to break. When we come back, we continue our look at Mark Scheifele among the NHL's best centermen. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Ezra, Dave, and Drew return on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
I'm ready for
you. A quick update, if you will, from Boston, where the Jets have concluded their morning skate. No changes to the lineup. There was some thought that maybe Drew Stafford would get back into the lineup tonight against the Boston Bruins. Does not appear to be the case. We'll have to see tomorrow if he's able to return against the Hurricanes. But in terms of the Jets goaltender, it's going to be Michael Hutchinson in net for the Jets tonight against Tuukka Rask of the Boston Bruins. As we spoke about earlier on the program, no David Pastrnak for the Bruins. He's their leading goal scorer. So it's Tuukka Rask against Michael Hutchinson. No changes to the Jets lineup aside from that. Presumably that means Hellebuck will get the start tomorrow in Carolina against the Hurricanes.
Hutchinson, the former Bruins product, you know, he'll have a little bit of fire to go up against the team that, you know, cut him loose essentially. And, You know, it'll be interesting. I don't think Drew Stafford plays till the Central Division games because I think, like, from everything Coach Maurice has indicated, you know, Stafford was wearing a yellow non-contact jersey the other day. Now he's back to a normal one.
Uh-huh.
But he hasn't had a full 45-minute up-and-down practice.
Well, it's because they haven't been able
to
practice.
I know. But I'm saying, so until he has that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's skating in the morning skates, but, I mean, how intense is that compared to a practice? So I suspect we don't see him until Wednesday. I could be wrong, but I think that it depends on what happens today, too, also, obviously. If they win, then I don't think we do. If they lose, maybe they throw him in for someone to kind of hopefully, quote, spark something, but that would be my guess.
We shall see on that front. I should mention this segment is brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com. Continuing our ranking of Mark Scheifele among the NHL's best centermen, we've finished the Eastern Conference, and at the end of the Eastern Conference, Scheifele was the seventh best centerman in the among all Eastern Conference centermen. We haven't looked at the West yet. We're going to do that next. That's according to Ezzy. Dave, you have him as well as the seventh best. Slight difference. Ezzy, you have Scheifele over Malkin. Dave, you have Scheifele over Eichel. That's sort of where the bit of the difference is. But, so far clear. Bergeron, Stamkos, Tavares, Crosby, and then the Backstrom, you all have ahead of Mark Scheifele among NHL centermen. We move over to the Pacific Division, where we start with the Anaheim Ducks.
Yep.
They have two very good centermen. They both have the first name of Ryan.
Yep.
Ryan Getzlaff and Ryan Kesler.
Yeah, so right off the bat, I'm going to take Getzlaff over Mark Scheifele. I mean, again, guys, you're talking about a guy who's led the entire league in scoring, and, you know, Scheifele might end up leading the league in scoring this year, but certainly Getzlaff is a guy, you know, that's been a staple of the Team Canada gold medal teams at the Olympics. And since he came into the NHL, I remember watching him play in Grand Forks in the 2005 World Juniors. He was dominant there, and he's been dominant ever since. His point totals have definitely gone down a little bit, Drew, but you're still talking about a guy who is an excellent two-way player. I mean, he can control the game. He's excellent on face-offs. You know, he's a big body. So I'm going to take Getzlaff over Scheifele, but I'll take Scheifele over Kesler. Because if I took Kesler over Scheifele, I think I'd get beat up outside of the studio here in Winnipeg.
Ryan Kesler, of course. Lots of love between Winnipeg
and Ryan. He's not a well-liked guy in Winnipeg, Drew, and he's probably not a well-liked guy in most cities.
In 29 other NHL cities, I would suggest.
And that might be something he likes.
I think he seems to enjoy playing with a bit of an edge to his game, as they say. Dave, so Ezzy has Getzlaff over Scheifele, but Scheifele over Kesler.
Yeah, it's close. Like, that is, as I think, I mean, Getzlaff is just, it's hard to go against him, but I mean, his numbers were very comparable to Scheifele's last year in terms of points production. He is an excellent two-way player. I mean, he's so solid. I mean, it's so hard because when you say, yeah, I'm picking him over him, like, it makes it sound like it's leaps and bounds where, you know, it really is a matter of just a little bit. I would probably still take Getzlaff right now, but I mean, if you ask me this again in like a couple of months, maybe you will. It might be a different answer.
Yeah, and he's a guy that's got a 90-point season under his belt. 3 years ago, he led the entire league with 87 points. And last year, he had 63 points, and that was a down year for him, right? Mm-hmm. And he had a terrible start to the season. So if he doesn't get to that kind of 75-point, 80 mark, you know, it's almost like, you know, Getzlaff has fallen out. But still a point a game right now.
Scheifele over Kesler, though, Dave?
Yeah.
1-14, the reverse Cy Young.
Yeah, exactly. The Edmonton Oilers. They have some guy named Connor McDavid. They also have Leon Draisaitl.
Right.
I'm going to assume that you both have McDavid over Scheifele and Scheifele over Draisaitl.
Yeah, and Leon Draisaitl, I mean, guys, we've, you know, talked about him quite a bit. He played in the Western Hockey League, of course, and he's a really good player.
Yep.
And Edmonton is set up nicely here for the next 10-plus years. But, I mean, Connor McDavid, we're talking about arguably, you know, the best player since Sidney Crosby, right? So,
yeah, I mean, he's sitting right behind Crosby in terms of NHL centers. I just... You know, I'm sorry. As much as you can say you like Mark Scheifele, he's not Connor McDavid.
Right. San Jose's got a trio of some pretty impressive centermen. That is, of course, Joe Thornton. They have Logan Couture, and they have Joe Pavelski. How would you guys evaluate those three as compared to Mark Scheifele.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Joel Pavelski, Drew, spends a lot of time on the wing.
Yes, I know
with Joe Thornton, but he can play center. So, I mean, no.
It was sort of, that was the problem I had with in preparing this segment. I'm like, well, do I include him as a centerman? Well, do I include him as a winger? Same thing with Steven Stamkos, who spent so much time on the wing with the Lightning.
But, hey, a lot of teams have guys that can play center or wing. Matthew Perreault, Adam Lowry, Patan. So, I mean, I'm going to just focus on Thornton and Couture.
Okay, so you want to take Pavelski out of the equation?
Sure.
Okay. I'll delete Pavelski from my spreadsheet.
Okay. As long as it's not in the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
First of all, Joe Thornton's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, even without a Stanley Cup. I mean, the guy is arguably the best passer in the league, with the exception of maybe Nicholas Backstrom over the last 10 years. So, I mean, it's tough for me right now. I mean, Joe Thornton's older. He's 36, 37 years old here. So he's probably only got, three or four years left in the NHL. I mean, unless he goes the Yarmer-Yager route, Drew. But, I mean, right now, I'm still taking Joe Thornton on my team over Mark Scheifele. I mean, Mark Scheifele's had a good last, year. But, I mean, Joe Thornton, you're talking about a guy who, in the clutch always comes through, almost got a Stanley Cup last year. So I'm taking Joe Thornton. And as far as Logan Couture, I mean, he led the playoffs in scoring last year. I mean, this guy is an excellent player. He's maybe started off a little bit slower than I thought, Drew. I'll take Scheifele over Couture, but not by much, and I'll still take Big Joe over Mark.
Interesting. Dave?
You know what?
You're a big Thornton guy.
I am a big Thornton guy.
You guys talk about Howard Stern together a little bit?
Yeah, that's true. he is a huge Stern fan. So, I mean, I could give him the edge simply by virtue of that. His good decision to listen to Stern. You know, San Jose's off to a bit of a slow start this year. So, I mean, it's you're looking at them and you're like, okay, well, their points are down simply because of the Sharks overall as a team haven't been playing their best hockey. And it's a tough one because, again, I'm looking at, what is Mark Scheifele doing right this second versus what are those guys doing the second? We're trying not to look at the totality and we're looking at moving forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to have to go with the youth. I mean, it's as crazy as it seems. I think I'm going with Mark Scheifele.
Over both of them?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough. That's.
I see what Scheifele can do. I mean, maybe it's a little bit, maybe that's a bit of homerism. Maybe I just watch Mark Scheifele too much, but I don't know.
You're entitled to your opinion. Moving to Los Angeles, they have two very good centermen as well, Andrei Kopitar and Jeff Carter.
Yeah. Andrei Kopitar, I mean, I can't take Mark Scheifele over Andrei Kopitar, Drew. He's got two Stanley Cups, and I realize that, he's had some injury problems here, and he's not in the Kings lineup right now, and the Jets benefited from that last Sunday. But, I mean, the guy, as a two-way centerman, he's all over the ice. And he might not be a guy that's going to score 80 or 90 points, but he's a consistent 60-point guy. And what he does in the face-off circle and on the defensive side of the puck, I got to take Kopitar over Scheifele. And when you're talking about Jeff Carter, I mean, Jeff Carter as well. I mean, the guy's a sniper. He's had multiple 30-plus goal seasons.
Dead air is not great for radio, just for the
maybe,
record.
Maybe because Jeff Carter's a little bit older in his career, I'll take Scheifele. But again, Jeff Carter's a good player. I'll take Scheifele over Carter, but not Kopitar.
No quibble.
You're matching Ezzy there?
I am, and I would match his consternation because if you look at how, we saw Jeff Carter, and you see how good his shot is still, and I mean, he's still dynamic. It's a hard one. It's a hard one, but I feel like he's maybe going downwards and Jeff Scheifele on that upper
trajectory. 3 years ago in the playoffs for the LA Kings, he was a point-a-game player.
And he's had 25-plus goals the last four seasons.
At this point
in
his career, he's more of a 25-goal, 60-point guy. But earlier in his career, he had a 40-goal season with the Flyers. But we'll take Scheifele over Carter, but not Kopitar.
Calgary Flames, Sean Monahan?
Ooh, he's had a real tough start to the season, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Really good player. Big guy, and he really, set the league on fire in that rookie year with Johnny Gaudreau a couple of years ago. I'll take Mark Scheifele over Johnny Gaudreau because I think Mark Scheifele right now.
The question was about Monahan.
Or sorry, what did I say? Gaudreau.
Gaudreau.
No, I'll take.
I'm busting on you.
Gaudreau's out. He's got to get that finger looked after. I'll take Scheifele over Monahan.
No quibble.
Okay. Vancouver, the getting older Henrik Sedin.
Yeah. Well, we'll take Scheifele because, I mean, again, we're talking about Joe Thornton and guys like the Sedins. The Sedins will be Hall of Famers. And at this point in their career, they're not as good as they used to be. So we'll take Mark Scheifele over Henrik Sedin.
And no quibble for you, Dave. I expected that one. And then to Arizona, where Martin Hansel would be the number one center.
Well, Shifley.
I didn't expect we'd spend a lot of time on that.
I'll be curious to see after this, Drew, after this exercise, where Shifley ends up. Because, like I said, before the show, I kind of ranked all of the centermen on my own list.
Yeah.
You know, Craig Button's got his own list, Craig's list. I've got Ezzy's list.
Mm-hmm.
And I had him, I think I had him 13th or 14th in the NHL.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got one division to go. We'll get into the Central Division after this break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Well, you're on the curve on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Good little show today, Drew.
Good little show. I agree. Yeah. 25 minutes before the top of the hour. Still 25 minutes to go on this good little show, if you will. Welcome back to the program. This segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Tonight at Rumors, Mark Forward, the early show, the 7:15 show, completely sold out. He's sold out every show this week. There are a few tickets, and by a few, I mean literally a few tickets available for the 10 p.m. show. So if you want to get those tickets, and you do, because Mark Forward is hilarious, RumorsComedyClub.com is the place to go do that. Go do it right now. You can listen to us at the same time while you go online and you buy your tickets to see Mark Forward tonight at Rumors. And while you're at it, buy tickets for some upcoming acts like Jay Farrow, formerly from Saturday Night Live, Ari Spears, formerly from Mad TV, a great list of comedians coming to Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club.
I look forward to seeing all of these comedians, Drew.
But I'm bum ching, Ezzy. Well done there. One final division as we look at Mark Scheifele among the NHL's best centermen, and that is the Winnipeg Jets' own division, the Central Division. And we start with the Chicago Blackhawks, who have both Jonathan Toews and Artem Anisimov anchoring their 1-2 lines up the middle.
Okay, so for me, this one's easy.
Yeah.
I mean, Jonathan Toews is for me, a better centerman than Mark Scheifele right now. And Mark Scheifele might be better offensively this season because, you know, Jonathan Toews is a guy that's usually around the 60-point mark. He's never been a guy that's been 80-plus. He's got 3 Stanley Cups. He's got 2 Olympic golds. He's got the World Junior gold. I mean, this guy really is the new Captain Canada, I would say. And, you know, and Sidney Crosby's obviously the captain usually of the Olympic teams. But you know what I mean. Captain Sirius, Captain Canada, whatever you want to call him. This guy wins. And he is the best two-way forward in the NHL, with the exception of, again, you're talking about Kopitar, Toews, Patrice Bergeron, Drew. I mean, these guys are the elite centermen in the NHL. So I'm going to take Toews over Scheifele, but, I mean, Scheifele's better than Anisimov. So
no quibble.
No quibble. Okay, moving to St. Louis, where their number one centerman is Paul Stastny.
Yep.
And you're taking Scheifele or you're taking Stastny?
Yeah, I'll take Scheifele over Paul Stastny. And, you know, Paul Stastny's an excellent player. And, you know, he's really taken over for David Backes as far as, you know, being the number one center, even though, you know, David Backes was more of the second line center last year, was excellent in the playoffs. But certainly Scheifele at this point in his career is better than Stastny.
The next team, Dave, I assume nothing. Yeah, no quibble there. The next team is the Minnesota Wild. They have 2 veteran centermen up the middle in Eric Staal, who, of course, was with the Carolina Hurricanes for so many years, and Mikko Koivu. Anybody taking either of those players over Mark Scheifele?
No, I'll take Mark Scheifele over both of those players. And, I mean, you know, Eric Staal is a guy that, you know, a few years back had a 100-point season. It was more than a few years back. It was probably more like 7 or 8 years ago. And, you know, he's had a nice start to the season with the Wild, Drew. And Mikko Koivu is an excellent one of those great two-way centers. Again, really good in the face-off circle. But, yeah, I mean, right now with the way Mark Scheifele is scoring, you got to take Scheifele over both Staal and Koivu. I
hate to break you guys, just to show you how fast time flies. That was 11 years ago.
Wow.
No, it's crazy how quickly time flies is right. Quick interlude. If you're listening to us at home and you're looking for something great to watch on TV, TSN 5 right now has the tiebreaker between Milos Raonic and Andy Murray in the semifinals of the ATP Championship. We've been watching it in studio. It's 2-2 in the third set. They only play best of 3. They're in a tiebreaker. Fantastic tennis right now.
Make sure you watch it with no sound.
Well,
yeah, listen to us. Watch Raonic and Andy Murray on TSN 5 right now. A great match coming down to the wire. 2-2 in the third set tiebreaker between Raonic and Murray.
What's on TSN 8, Drew?
I don't know. But that's good tennis on TSN 5. I can tell you that for sure.
We don't know what's on Ocho.
I don't know what's on the Ocho.
Okay.
Dallas Stars. Two centermen.
Yeah,
both of whom acquired from different teams.
Yeah, I mean Tyler Seguin
and Jason Spezza.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tyler Seguin over Mark Scheifele. I mean, after Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid, Tyler Seguin might be the most dynamic offensive player in the league. And again, Mark Scheifele is tied for the league lead in points right now. I realize that, but I'm still taking Seguin, and I'm going to take Scheifele over Spezza.
You know, Scheifele may have beat Seguin in paper, rock, scissor, but unfortunately he doesn't beat him in this category. Seguin has the edge.
Dave, by the way, I can't believe that 100-point season from Stahl was 11 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
How'd you get so old?
That's what happens, Drew. You get old sometimes.
Just like the gray in your beard, as we talked about earlier on the program, right?
I'm a young 34.
A young 34, exactly. Moving over to Nashville, where they acquired their number one centerman last year from the Columbus Blue Jackets, Ryan Johansson.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
And
by the way, the Blue Jackets are playing really well right now.
Should give a shout out to Matt Calvert.
Last night,
Matt Calvert.
Good Brandon boy. Yep.
Had to go off the ice, had to get repairs. He had 36 stitches put into his face last night. Comes back, scores the shorthanded goal. The Blue Jackets end up winning. So shout out to Matt Calvert, local Brandon boy, for playing like a hockey player plays, which is getting stitched up and coming back and making a difference.
Yeah, we knew hockey players were tough as nails, Drew, but you know, good on you for bringing that up. Good for Matt Calvert. Great to see him, you know, come back after getting those stitches and score the winning goal. That was awesome.
Yeah. Another quick update from Carolina. Chip Alexander, who covers the Carolina Hurricanes for the Raleigh News and Observer, confirms that Cam Ward gets the start in goal against the Jets tomorrow evening.
He's playing
so
well.
Assuming everything is the same for the Jets, you're going to see Hellebuck versus Cam Ward as your goaltending matchup. Just like we saw at the beginning, the first game of the season at MTS Center, the Hurricanes looking for some revenge on the Jets tomorrow late afternoon. Sorry, continuing on. So there's no question there. We talked about Ryan Johansson. Who do you have, Scheifele or Johansson?
I think Ryan Johansson's attitude probably makes me want to take Mark Scheifele alone. But, I mean, Ryan Johansson, I know Richie used to compare Ryan Johansson to Ryan Getzlaff. He saw a lot of parallels in their game. But I'm going to take Mark Scheifele. I mean, Mark Scheifele's work ethic and attitude and leadership qualities, I think, give him the edge over Ryan Johansson, a guy that's had, let's say, a little bit of a controversial start to his career.
No quibble, but it's close, though.
Well, Johansson's a great player.
Yeah.
And he's a really good player. But, I know he hasn't maybe got the start that he wanted this year with Nashville. He's starting to come on a little bit.
But when he went over to Nashville last season in the Seth Jones trade, he really did turn it on and was very – I mean, you could see why he solves a lot of problems for the Nashville Predators, who've been looking for a number one center for a lot of years.
He's got one goal in 16 games this year.
A poor start.
That's why when you're comparing him to Scheifele right now, you're taking Scheifele.
Yeah.
And the final team, the final player, Nathan MacKinnon of the Colorado Avalanche.
That's a tough one, Drew. Nathan MacKinnon, obviously the first overall pick back in 2013, and Colorado is a bad team this year.
They've been a bad team for the last number of years.
Ooh. Scheifele versus MacKinnon. I'll take Scheifele, but I'm hesitant to take Scheifele over MacKinnon. But I'm going to take Scheifele over MacKinnon.
That one leaves a bad taste.
You can't tie. We already
MacKinnon's
said you
good.
Can't, you can't sit on the
but
fence.
But I'll take Scheifele.
I think this will be my last. No quibble.
No quibble. Perfect timing. As it's all said and done now, we've gone through all 29 other NHL teams to find out the answer regarding where Mark Scheifele ranks among the NHL's top centermen. After it's all said and done, Ezzy, you have Mark Scheifele as the 13th best center in the NHL.
Yeah, and I told you before the show, I kind of did my own rankings, and that's where I had him.
Here are the centers that you have as being better than Mark Scheifele in no particular order.
Yep.
Tyler Seguin, Jonathan Toews, Anze Kopitar, Joe Thornton, Connor McDavid, Ryan Getzlaff, Jack Eichel, Patrice Bergeron, Steven Stamkos, John Tavares, Sidney Crosby, and Nicholas Backstrom.
Just to stop you for a second, Drew, think of those names that you just said. And now we're talking about Mark Scheifele amongst those names. I mean, that shows you how far he's come in his career.
It certainly has. It's a good list to be around names of. So you have Scheifele overall as the 13th best centerman in the NHL. Dave, you have him as the 12th best centerman. Oh. with ranking him a little bit higher, as the case may be. Your centermen that you have as better than Mark Scheifele are Tyler Seguin, Jonathan Toews, this is in no particular order, Anze Kopitar, Connor McDavid, Ryan Getzlaff, Patrice Bergeron, Steven Stamkos, John Tavares, Sidney Crosby, Nicholas Backstrom, and Evgeny Malkin.
And Drew, you know, you can make the argument that Mark Scheifele is a top 10 centerman, but, you know, we're calling him the top 12 or top 13 centerman, I mean, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just because we didn't say that he's a top 10 centerman. I mean, and again, there's probably a lot of people listening that would probably make that argument that he's a top 10 centerman. But 12, 13, I mean, he's a top 15 centerman in the entire world. And again, you know, good for him. Deserves it. He's worked his buns off with Gary Roberts and Adam Oates in the offseason. And this guy, I think if we can conclude kind of these last four segments that we've done on Mark Scheifele, guys, it's that he's an elite center. He's up there with the best of the best.
And again, we're putting him against guys who have the pedigree, but the reality is, from Jets fans' perspective, is that this guy is continuing to move up in his trajectory, and he's dedicated to his craft. We see it so often. We hear about it, you know, when we talk to him after games or after practices. He goes back, he watches his goals, he'll watch them with Oates mid-season. He'll like get analysis. So you can see, like, he's a real student of his own game.
And Dave, right now he's tied with Nikita Kucherov for the lead league in points.
Yeah.
Right, with 22.
Yeah.
If he ends up finishing this year,
you might have to
leading the league in points, then we might say, okay, you know what? He passes Jack Eichel, or he passes Ryan
Getzlaff.
Hold
on a second, Ezzy. I already haven't passed Jack Eichel.
We can always reevaluate this as the season progresses. Let's head to break. When we come back, one final segment, we'll look at some trade rumors around the NHL. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Illegal Curve Hockey Show returns. Now you're on the curve on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
We've scored one goal or 11 goals in the last 9 games, and you're not going to win many games, if any, scoring like that.
That's the theme. I mean, it must be a joke right now. If you score 2 goals against the Buffalo Sabres, you're going to win the game, and yeah. we got to end that.
Evander Kane.
Wow.
Unhappy with his teammates and their performance.
Hey, Buffalo, how are you liking Evander Kane?
Hold on. I got to say something. Am I misunderstanding it, or is he criticizing everyone, including himself? I mean, like, with all due respect to everyone, is listening comprehension out the window? Like,
I don't have a problem with his comments there.
Yeah, like, that's the only thing I have to say. Like, you know, I'm not going to defend Vander Kane all day of the week, but, like, he's talking about the entire team. He's not talking about – he didn't say, these guys and not me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we. He said later in the interview, if you listen to the whole interview, he says, we. So, I mean, like, you can say whatever you want about Vander Kane. He's talking about the whole Buffalo Sabres team, himself included.
I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said, Dave, because I think a lot was made out of those comments that he was blaming his teammates but not taking responsibility for himself.
Yeah, and I have a problem with that.
Yeah, and you know, exactly. You know, slings and arrows can be shot at Evander Kane, but let's be fair when we do so, because I think he was including himself as not getting the job done for the Sabres. The Sabres, of course, have 31 goals for in 17 games this season. They're less than 2 goals a game. They're the worst offensive team so far this year, with the Colorado Avalanche a close behind. But things aren't going well in Buffalo. Things aren't going well with Evander Kane. He's rumored to be on the trade block. Both apparently the Vancouver Canucks and the Minnesota Wild potentially interested in acquiring Evander Kane.
Yeah, we should mention, I retweeted this last night, Bob McKenzie, and this is, you know, word for word what he said, quick update, FWIW. What's FWIW?
For what it's worth.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well.
You're better at the acronyms than I am, Drew.
We speak the kid lingo
now. Yeah, come on, Ez. Yeah.
So he said, my understanding is whatever dialogue Vancouver and Buffalo had on Evander Kane, and there was talk, it's no longer being pursued. So that's from TSN insider Bob McKenzie last night on Twitter. So it looks like Vancouver's not interested in Kane anymore.
It doesn't take long for those trade talks to get rekindled. Right. One phone call, and all of a sudden they're back, they're back on the table there, of course.
Could you imagine if Evander Kane ended up in Minnesota? Back in the Central, like those Minnesota-Winnipeg games would be absolutely unbelievable.
Certainly. I mean, you would have a lot heated. The Wild are interested because there's a lot of talk that the Wild are interested in a in a power forward winger and a goal scoring winger.
Yeah, they need some more speed.
Yeah, they need some more speed. They certainly need some more youth. I mean, that Wild team is sort of a mishmash of all sorts of different parts that I don't see the future being bright for the Minnesota Wild necessarily. And they could use an injection of youth. Whether or not Evander Kane is the right answer there, only time will tell, I would suggest, on that point of view. But Minnesota Wild and Vancouver Canucks supposedly interested in Evander Kane. Andrew Hammond is on my list, but he was just put on waivers earlier today by the Ottawa Senators. So obviously they were interested in dealing him. No trade materialized.
I don't believe he's cleared yet, though.
He has not cleared yet. They just put him on waivers today. He'd have until tomorrow afternoon to get claimed. I would think that Andrew Hammond might get claimed.
Well, I mean, I'm the LA Kings or the Arizona Coyotes, and by the way, I realize Mike Smith, is back now.
Still, but Andrew Hammond is an upgrade on Louis Domingue.
Yeah, I agree with you, Drew. I mean, Andrew Hammond was a guy who developed late. He was a guy who played in the minors for quite a long time, and then had that miraculous year 2 years ago, the Hamburglar, and all that. I wonder how many cheeseburgers he's eaten these days. But
well, he does have lifetime at McDonald's.
That's my dream.
McDonald's hooked me up. Ezra, that's your nightmare.
Yeah. I did win a free cheeseburger in Monopoly the other day. I was pretty pumped. I mean, Andrew Hammond's maybe a guy that gets acquired. Closer to the trade deadline, but if he's on waivers, you'd think maybe somebody takes a flyer on him.
Milos Raonic just hit into the net on his own serve. He loses 11-9 in the third set tiebreaker against Andy Murray. I know I've mentioned it a couple times already. This was fantastic tennis played between Milos Raonic and Andy Murray. As he's giving us a look of,
Drew,
why are you talking about tennis on
a
hockey show?
Leave the tennis to John McEnroe.
Well, this was great tennis, and then I think the audience appreciates hearing about great tennis when it happens.
I know what our audience wants. Our audience wants...
More Ezzy?
No, they want hockey.
They want hockey, okay. Anyways, that's now that match is over, so we don't have to talk about it anymore. Dougie Hamilton.
Yep.
The Calgary Flames, they acquired him from the Boston Bruins at the NHL draft a few years ago. Everybody said it was a steal for the Flames. Things haven't worked out well in Calgary. The Flames are a bit of a tire fire so far this year. Johnny Gaudreau just goes down with an injury. He's got a broken finger. Supposedly, the Detroit Red Wings, the Arizona Coyotes, the Pittsburgh Penguins, all rumored to be kicking the tires on Dougie Hamilton.
Yep.
This is a diminished asset if there ever was one.
He had 43 points last year. I mean, it's funny. I've always been a fan of Dougie Hamilton's game. He was a ninth overall pick, a couple picks after Mark Scheifele. It went Scheifele, Couturier, Dougie Hamilton. And, Boston, Dave, because of salary cap issues, and we were there at the draft when he was traded, the Boston Bruins said, okay, we're not going to re-sign him, so we'll trade him to Calgary. He puts up 43 points last year, 12 goals, and all of a sudden he's not a good defenseman anymore. I don't get it. I mean, Dougie Hamilton, to me, is an excellent defenseman. Maybe, you'd expect him, a guy who's 6'5", you expect him to be a little bit meaner. But I'll take Dougie Hamilton on my team any day of the week. And for me, you mentioned a couple teams, Drew, Pittsburgh, Detroit, and maybe three, Arizona, too. I mean, Arizona, I think they'd probably be three on that list because they've got some other guys there, but he would be a really good fit on Detroit, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. Well, Detroit's been looking for a sort of a young, puck moving defenseman. They kicked the tires supposedly on Trouba. They've been talking about Anaheim, and I think it was Cam Fowler.
But would they have to give up an Anthony Mantha or a Svechnikov or one of their top young prospects? Right. Like, I don't think they want to give up a Mantha to get Dougie Hamilton. So maybe they have to give up another one of their forwards. I don't know who that would be, but certainly I think there's going to be a lot of interest in Hamilton.
Yeah, he's certainly an interesting defenseman, and for whatever reason, he seems to wear out his welcome, be it in Boston or be it in Calgary, pretty quickly.
He's only 23. Sorry, Dave, to cut you off. He's only 23, and we know defensemen take a little bit longer to develop, and he's already got a couple of 40-point seasons under his belt.
Well, my way of looking at it is, if you're Calgary and you're rebuilding with a youthful team, why would you eliminate a big piece like Dougie Hamilton could be eventually for this squad? So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if Calgary thinks that they're, quote, going for it, then maybe you want to add some pieces. But, I mean, if you're smart and you want to build long-term, then why would you eliminate a player like that?
Time will tell what happens with Dougie Hamilton and the Calgary Flames. That's it for the Saturday morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Keener Jerseys. Big thank you to all that joined us as guests on today's program. John Forsland of the Carolina Hurricanes, he's their play-by-play guy. TSN's Director of Scouting, Craig Button. Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. and Boston Bruins broadcast of Jack Edwards. In case you missed any of the show, it's available for download on iTunes, on TSN1290.ca, and on our website, IllegalCurve.com. You can follow us on Twitter at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website with the latest Moose and Jets news is IllegalCurve.com. For producer Rory, big props, doing a great job behind the board. For Dave Minuke, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.